still sexual because of society, because of, that's why women think of women as being sexual. It's like women will make out with women and party with women. And part of it is because they think that guys like it. But also part of it is because in our society, it has been deemed that women are more sexual. They're more sex objects. They use them to sell watches and cars and shit like that. It's like, it's more natural and accepted. So I think a gay guy would have way less problems fucking a straight girl than a straight guy would have fucking a gay guy. You know what I mean?
Okay. So if you said to a gay guy, fuck a girl, he'd probably do it quicker than a hetero guy would fuck another guy in the ass. Even though he'd fuck his girl in the ass.
Unless the hetero guy was in prison.
And then it's a whole different ball game, because those guys will say, well, I'm not gay, but just need to put my cock in something.
Yeah, that's a strange thing, isn't it? How much humans adapt. They adapt so much that straight people become gay while they're in jail.
Dude, if I was in jail, I'd become the best masturbator on the planet. I'd fucking get artwork, man.
I saw a shank that someone made out of toilet paper.
What?
They don't know exactly how the dude did this, but he somehow or another created a shank and used something to harden the toilet paper.
Like a paper mache shank.
Dude, it was the weirdest thing ever. I mean, just you think about human ingenuity, and one of the things about prison is that these guys are forced to adapt and survive and, you know, and kind of use their ingenuity, use their creativity, and create things that no one, that's why they develop tattoo needles with, you know, at a, they take pens and they take the ink and they'll burn things and use they'll like make ink. They'll make their own ink out of burning plastic and burning paper. And then they figure out how to make some sort of a machine with a battery. And, like, it's really kind of amazing some of the things that people have done in jail. But this was one of the weirdest, man. The guy made a weapon out of toilet paper.
And he attacked someone with it? Or did they find it?
I think they found it. But they don't know what the fuck this guy did to make the toilet paper hard. But, it, you know, he had made it to the point where it was like plaster.
Oh, fuck.
Like, it was like he had developed a shank. Oh. An actual shank out of toilet paper.
Man, that's one place I never want to end up. Fucking in prison, man. I would not survive.
It's a dark fucking world, man. I know a dude who just got out. This guy, War Machine. You know War Machine.
Yeah, War Machine just got out like a few days ago, right? I saw him tweeting you.
Yeah.
Yeah, about asking where you were playing.
Yeah, he got in some sort of...
He said on Twitter it wasn't a pretty experience.
Of course not, man. It's horrible. And that's just small-time shit. That's just doing a year. You know, you watch those lockdown shows...
Scary, man. There's when I was in Jersey for Strike Force, I remember driving back to the airport. I'm not sure if it was Newark or JFK or whatever, but on the way to the airport, actually, you drive past a prison yard. And in Australia, like in Melbourne, we have one prison. Mm. Oh, we have Barwon Prison now, which is in the country. It's like out of Melbourne. We used to have one right in the heart of the city, but now it's out. So I'm not used to seeing prisoners. And like, we drove past a prison yard, and like, as you're driving past, the fucking fence to the prison is right there with prisoners walking around in fucking orange uniforms. Mm. And even though I was in a cab, I sort of shit myself. Yeah. Just not used to seeing that. Being from Australia, I'm like, fucking prisoners right there, right near the road. I can see them walking around. It's
prison is a big, big, big sign. The numbers of people in prison is a big sign that this society is a mess.
Yeah.
That's if you ever wanted like some real hardcore evidence as to how much of a mess our society is, our prison numbers are huge. More people are in prison, more black men are in prison right now than were ever slaves.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. I might be wrong. I think that's true, though. And, you know, just the sheer numbers. There's millions of people. There's more people in jail in America than all of China. And that's incredible when you consider China has over 1 billion people. There's way more people in jail here.
Fuck.
We have more people in jail than several countries. Like, if you add up a bunch of different countries in a row, we have more people in jail than them.
Fuck, that is amazing,
Well, they make money off of it. That's the sickest part about our jail system is that we have private
prisons.
How
crammed must the jails be, though?
Very crammed. And they're building more of them all the time. And they're arresting people on more and more silly shit. All the time.
Well, what's the one in San Quentin?
Yeah.
So we did a tour in San Francisco a few days ago, and the tour guide pointed out San Quentin, and he said it looks like there might be a possibility it's going to be sold soon.
A prison is going to be sold.
San Quentin prison, the land is going to be, the prison's going to close down. They'll relocate a prison somewhere else and tear it all down and build like San Quentin estate. Put houses on it where San Quentin is at the moment. He says there's a really good chance of that happening.
Who the fuck would want to live over all that gay rape?
Dude, it is in Melbourne the same. Pentridge Jail, that's what I was trying to think of before, was in Coburg, which is in Melbourne's inner northern suburbs, which has become quite a trendy spot at the moment. Used to be just a big ethnic spot, still is, but now a trendy spot. And that's where Pentridge Prison was located. And years ago, they tore down Pentridge, and now it's apartments.
Don't they remember Poltergeist? Yeah. They build those houses over the Indian burial grounds, mm-hmm. and then the ghosts of the Indians came mm-hmm. and fucked everybody up.
Dude, no way I'd buy an apartment over
ghosts
Pentridge.
Ghosts of all the shankings mm-hmm. and all the just all the dude, men the forcing themselves one, on men.
If you ever get to Melbourne, I'll take you to the old Melbourne jail, which is still spelt G-A-O-L the old way, where Ned Kelly, our most Goal? Famous... Yeah, jail. The old English spelling is G-A-O-L.
G-A-O-L.
Yeah. So old Melbourne
so gaol,
jail.
Gaol.
Yeah. But
so
pronounced jail, though.
Like misspelling goal, though.
Yeah. No,
A-O-L. Instead
A-O-L, yeah. So gaol,
yeah.
but pronounced jail. But that's the old spelling, the old English spelling
wow.
for jail. And old Melbourne jail is where Ned Kelly, who's our most famous criminal of all time. You might have seen movies on him. He was the dude that wore like a fucking tin armor.
I thought Chopper was the most
famous. Chopper Reed's the most popular at the moment. He's like the, you know, he's away the last 10 years or so since Eric Bana did the movie.
That was a great movie.
Fantastic. Fucking Eric Bana rocks, man.
He's a bad motherfucker.
And Chopper's, Chopper's a bona fide celebrity now in Australia. He's got a...
I like that comedian who does the impressions of him. Harden the fuck up.
Yeah, doing the weather and that. Yeah.
Talking to little babies. Harden the fuck up.
Well, you know, the whole criminal thing in Melbourne at the moment is really being glorified, especially our mobsters, because there's this Underbelly TV series, which I think has hit America on one of the networks. But Underbelly is into like its fourth season or so now, and it started off being about the Melbourne underworld, the Italian mobs and the, you know, the Aussie sort of mobs that were warring with each other over the last 15 years. Then there's only a few of them left now. They ended up mostly killing each other off. But newspapers are full of it, and Underbelly series is rated so high in Australia. There's that fascination with mobsters.
Yeah, you know? So they become like celebrities.
Exactly.
And then it becomes more popular.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
They have Mob Wives here. Have you ever seen
that? Yeah, I saw an episode of Mob Wives.
Those fucking monsters.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just so crazy. There's one, the fat one, who's by herself, and her husband left her. You know, they're divorced, but she's like a big star of it, and she's always screaming. And when there's busts on TV, she's smoking cigarettes and crying and screaming. You're like, oh, this monster.
How do these women end up with these guys? You know, like those chicks that go to prison, they like to fuck guys in prison and like have relationships with dudes in prison. Like, how does a woman get to that point?
They love the strong... Like what it represents, you know. They like going into a restaurant and everybody respects them. They like the fact that people pick up the tab because they're afraid of these people.
Data fucking fighter, data fucking mass murderer.
Yeah, there's something about it. It's like, you know, I mean, it goes back to the Godfather movies. It goes back to the John Gotti thing in New York. It's like there's this weird sort of a romantic thing of knowing someone that's in the mafia. You know,
people have weird fetishes, man. I remember watching this.
That organized crime thing is a deep thing.
Yeah.
I grew up in Boston, and it was Whitey Bulger, that guy who just got busted. He was on the run for like 16 years, but he ran the Irish mob. And, you know, there was a lot of... I trained with a lot of Whitey Bulger's hitmen.
Did you ever used to have that Boston accent?
Yeah, I had that for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a cool accent, man.
It was pretty decent.
I love it. It's cool. Whenever I see a movie set in Boston...
If you're a guy and you want to be look like a douchebag, it's a great accent.
I love the sound of it.
Pack your fucking car, hide the fuck up. I heard myself on TV when I was 19. I was in the Bay State Games, a Taekwondo tournament, and I heard myself on TV, and it was so bad, I immediately got rid of the accent. I figured out how to get it out. Yeah, I had it. It was pretty deep. We've been working really hard, and I was like, oh my God, I listened to myself. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
is that
it's sort of like a mix between noise. American and British and something else. It's really strange.
Yeah,
but I love it. I like movies where they have the Boston accent, but it's a fucking hard accent to try to replicate.
Yeah, people fuck it up all the time. Yeah, it's a tricky one. It's a fun accent. It's like, it's a good accent to have if you're drinking and you're around a bunch of guys that have Boston accents. I guarantee you they're going to be funnier. That's probably the funniest group of humans per capita is Boston men. You know, it's a hard life up there, man. Women are ugly. It's cold as fuck.
Women are ugly in Boston?
Oh, monsters.
Really?
Monsters.
Women in Texas are hot,
like
man.
I said, it's not that it's their fault. It's just,
Texas is hot women. I was in Dallas.
They're the hottest.
Like, fuck. The Texans are the nicest Americans, too. I think Texans are just really polite and
okay,
nice.
Okay, you got it. You're only dealing with city Texas. There's a different Texas.
Oh, really?
There's a Chainsaw Massacre Texas.
Oh.
And you got to go out into the... You got to go to Jasper, where they drag black people behind trucks.
Oh,
shit,
no.
Like that. Yeah.
Really?
There's meth Texas.
Okay, I'll rephrase.
Yeah.
Dallas Texans?
Dallas is the shit.
How lovely.
Urban
Dallas,
Texas.
Texas
is the shit.
Yeah.
Y'all.
I love when they say y'all.
Great too, like San Antonio and Houston. Houston is amazing. Austin is one of my favorite cities of all time.
Austin, apparently, everyone I talk to, it's like one of the best cities in America.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I've got to go there.
But there's, you know, there's outside of that. The problem is you drive outside of that a half an hour and you're in fucking Roscoe P. Coltrane country.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's squirrely. Texas is real squirrely. And they got the real conservative laws. And they you know, they can fuck you up over reefer or anything. You know, there's speed traps everywhere.
Guy was telling me that Make My Day law, we can shoot someone that comes into your house.
You not only can shoot someone who comes into your house, you could shoot someone who's trying to repossess your car.
What?
Yep. They've had people who shot people who they thought were trying to steal their car, shot them with a rifle. Turns out it was a repo guy. Turned out that he was vindicated. Guy never did any time at all.
Really?
Yeah, shot a guy with a fucking deer hunting rifle that was just trying to do his job and repossess a car.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's
amazing,
yeah,
man. Yeah, yeah. You're a car thief. You know, that's how they look at it. It's like some even though the repo guy's doing is legal, you know, the bank is repossessing its property and they hire this guy to do it. What the shooter's doing is legal too, because you didn't represent yourself as a repo man. And even if you did, even if you did, he might be able to shoot you.
So it's not true though that if you shoot an intruder, you have to kill them?
No.
It's not true?
No, you just have to shoot them. I mean, you don't have to even shoot them. I mean, there's no law. Like, it's like a deer.
Someone told me ages ago that if you shoot them, you got to make sure you kill them. Otherwise, they can sue you for shooting them.
Well, I bet they could. Yeah, I bet they could sue you. Not necessarily whether they would win, but they could probably take you through the system. Yeah.
But if you did shoot them and kill them, it wouldn't...
No, then they can't sue you, obviously.
No, but it wouldn't be you wouldn't be charged for manslaughter.
No, you know, people have gotten in trouble in Texas for shooting their wife and boyfriend and gotten away with it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's a crime of passion. You come home, some guy's banging your wife, and you fucking shoot him. You know, you can get away with that. There's some tricky shit that you can get away with in Texas. You know, I don't know if it's a concealed carry state. I don't know if it is. I don't know if you're allowed to go Wild West style and have
a whole fucking holster.
Yeah. Because in some places, you're not allowed to do that, but you are allowed to carry it out in the open.
Yeah.
So if you have a handgun, you're just allowed to hold it out in the open as you walk towards the supermarket. Like, what the fuck, man? You can imagine, you know, you're going to the supermarket and some dude is just walking with his gun out in the open because that's how the law is. You know, the law states that.
But they're saying coming to America. America is great indeed.
What did you think about this whole Norway thing that just went down with this one guy? I'm just getting all the information.
Dude, opened up at a children's camp or something?
Killed a huge amount of children. I mean, I don't know how many it's going to be all told because there's a lot of injuries and some of these kids are going to die, but it's over 80 kids, I believe.
And Norway's one of those countries that flies under the radar, man. Yeah. You never hear shit from Norway. Nothing bad ever comes out of Norway.
Well, my buddy Doug Stanhope just filmed his last DVD there in Oslo, where this all went down.
Yeah.
And this one guy, some crazy, all they're saying is he's very religious and, you know, and anti-Muslim, I believe. But that's just, who knows? Who knows how much they even know about what the fuck the real situation is? It's, you know, it's the dust is still settling. But what a horrible, horrible
what
fucking
What causes
thing.
These people to do this? Is it just the thing is just being fucking pure evil? Just, you're fucking evil?
You know, who knows, man? You know, did you ever see the man who shot, there was a woman who was a congressman.
Shot in the face or the head or whatever? Yeah.
She lived, Gifford, and then, you know, he killed a bunch of people else on the scene. That guy had a bunch of videos that he had put on YouTube and written some things, and it was just, he was obviously, his brain wasn't working right. He had he would make these, he would say these things are just like what they would call word salad. Just throw a bunch of words together. It didn't make any sense. Like there was obviously a disconnect. He was functioning incorrectly. And look, the human mind is a very complicated instrument, and sometimes it's fucked up, and sometimes it's off. Just like some people get cancer and some people get diseases, some people's brains don't work.
Some people have some fucking... I was watching this TV show where this guy had a fetish for vomit. He was called it's off the Greek word for vomit. I should have asked Irene, but it's a fetish of his, and the only way he could get hard was when chicks vomited. So he would pay prostitutes to spew on him and vomit. And if he went to a restaurant and he saw someone chuck, he would go and scoop the chuck up and put it in a plastic bag. And they took the camera inside this giant freezer that he'd stored all these bags of vomit from over the years. And he had each one of the bags, documented. What? So he was grabbing a bag off the...
They were frozen?
Frozen. So he'd grab it, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, Taco Bell, 1992. She fucking blew chunks on the floor. Like, I fucking get turned on just thinking about it. A Mennonite. So, a fucking fetish for people fucking chucking up and girls spewing on him. The only way he could get an erection, if a hooker or a friend of his would, he'd pay them to stick their fingers down their throat and chuck up on him.
What?
Yeah. Like, how the fuck do you explain that? Like, also these dudes, you know, dudes that they're called feeders and they feed those fat chicks. They're little skinny. Have you seen that? Feeders. There's not a TV show. I saw a show again. You got this. You got some crazy shit on TV here. These little skinny fucking dudes that look like they're 45 to 50 kilos in weight.
Have the, what is that in pounds? 100 pounds? 110 pounds?
Yeah, say 110, 120 pounds, right? They have these wives or girlfriends who are fucking behemoths, like 300-pound Emmanuel Yarbrough-looking fucking women who lie in bed all day and immobilize because they're so huge they can't really fucking move.
And the men, little men feed them.
And the little men feed them. They're called feeders. And they get off sexually on feeding these women and just constantly fucking feeding them and getting these women fucking fat.
I can't say I'm surprised. Whoa, I can't feeders. Say I'm surprised. I would have been surprised if you told me that 20 years ago. Mm. If you told me that before I knew about the internet, I'd be like, what? Feeders, really? Man. I would say that doesn't even make any sense. Why would somebody... Maybe one person's into that.
This other dude on the
they
show...
have an online community of this?
Apparently it's like... I wouldn't say a popular thing, but it's like a thing. There's like a feeder community. And fucking skinny dudes are feeding these chicks, just feeding them. Constantly sitting by the bedside, fucking feeding these behemoths.
Someone has to, right? When those people become immobile and they can't even leave the house, you would think, well, that's the perfect time to go on a diet.
Yeah.
You can't even move. How long would it take to starve someone like that to death if you just gave them water? They have so much fat.
Yeah, so they'd process the fat, wouldn't they, for a while, more than a normal person.
But you would die of starvation still, even if you were that
fat. They would, because your stomach would start shrinking.
Is that what would happen?
You give them water, right? So they're staying hydrated.
Yeah, if you just gave them water.
Wouldn't the body start burning fat, though, wouldn't it?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's that efficient. I don't think it could just like use it as an alternative fuel supply.
But then again, they're not using up any food for energy because they're just fucking lying there.
How much energy is it to lie? They need some just to pump blood and breathe air. They need some energy. I don't think it's possible. I know it's not possible. I know you would starve to death even if you're a big fat fuck. But I wonder how many days you would last. I wonder if you would last, like, if you had, like, a lean guy, you know, like, you get, like, a fucking Kyle Kingsbury, super athlete, lean guy, and you put him in a room with some Jabba the Hutt looking
and starve them both. Who would die first?
Who would die first?
That's interesting.
You would think the fat guy would have at least a little bit more energy.
How does the little guy fuck the fat chick? How does he even find the pussy to
probably
fuck
Probably doesn't. Probably doesn't.
Just gets probably just fucking tosses
happy
off.
Happy that somebody likes him.
Man.
You know, there's some people out there that are just happy that anybody likes them. They'll take anybody.
How does she wipe her broken. Ass?
She probably doesn't. There was a woman who died who was like grafted into a couch.
What?
She was slowly, her skin was starting to graft itself to the couch. And when they cut her out of the house, they had to cut a hole in the wall to pull her out of the house. And when they cut her out, they had to cut her out with the couch.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and then she died of complications.
Fuck, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's, like I said, there's a broad spectrum. People can go off the fucking diggity-diggity deep end in many different ways.
This other dude on this show had an obsession that he wanted to return to the womb.
Oh, whoa.
And his wife was pregnant, and he was jealous of his unborn child for being in his wife's womb.
Oh.
And he said that his thing was he had an obsession with needing to return to the womb.
Can you imagine that poor woman have to deal with that bitch of a man? Right. And that's the one who's fathering your children?
Mm-hmm.
Some fucking freak weirdo. Freak who wants crazy a fucking, fetishes.
Yeah.
Wants to climb back inside.
Back inside your fucking uterus, yeah.
So he doesn't have to deal with it anymore. Because he's life is hard. Mm-hmm. I want to be a baby again. Be in my mommy's tummy and be safe back in the little house on the prairie. Can you believe it? Crazy assholes.
Fucking ridiculous.
Well, we live in extreme times, and you and I travel in the most extreme circles. You know, if you really think about it, the cage fighting commentary and kickboxing commentary, and flying all over the world and being around all these savages, and yet we're still shocked by the level of human behavior out there in the world.
Isn't that strange that, like, I don't get shocked by the violent knockouts I see and the crazy cuts and the blood and I see, but...
Did you think that when you were in that fight with that dude was coming at you, did you think, like, wow, I'm just so used to conflict and so used to fights that it's like, it's even though you're not getting in them, you probably were way more calm than an average dude
because very calm.
You're so used to being around fights.
Just your mind is just, it's there. It's always in your face. You're talking about it, you're seeing it at the highest level, at the lowest level, you're just seeing it. So it's just, it's almost programmed into you.
HDNet's got to step it up, dude. HDNet's got to figure out some way to get on more TVs because the programming is awesome. You know, the shows that they have is awesome. It's the only place to get high-level kickboxing in America.
It is.
You never see it anywhere.
You know, we're doing
it
Showtime now, and those shows are fantastic, man.
Showtime are
There's
great.
One coming up in
and
September.
They pay you.
Yeah.
they actually pay you.
Yeah, they pay. Not like fucking K1, man.
Is K1 going to fold and is Showtime going to take over? Because I've heard that.
No, I don't think so. I'm told that K1 will survive, but in what capacity, I'm not sure. Not that It's Showtime will take over, but It's Showtime's going to be the one to watch.
Listen, Mark Cuban's a bad motherfucker, mm-hmm. okay? He owns the goddamn world champion mm-hmm. Dallas Mavericks, brought them along to that title, owns HCNet. Tell him to step the fuck up and buy K1. Mm-hmm. It's probably like $1,000. You could buy K1 for their debt.
Actually heard about a year and a half ago that the price tag for K1 was $30 million.
It's got to be less than that now.
I believe so, yeah.
Well, they bought the UFC for like $2
million. Mm-hmm.
But if you bought K1 for even $10 million, man, dude, Mark Cuban could turn K1 into a monster.
Fuck yeah.
You take the same level of talent, the real high-end guys they have now at K1 Max mm-hmm. and the K1 Grand Prix, the heavyweight Grand Prix, and put those on in Vegas and make a big fucking deal out of it.
And make me the president of it, I'll Dana White the fuck out of that.
Oh, son! Mark Cuban, please, we're begging you. Step the fuck up. There's an opening to be had here. There's mm-hmm. a product to be sold. This is a fucking strong possibility. You can make it happen, Mark Cuban. All right. This is a long fucking podcast. It's 8:10 p.m. How long have we been talking for? Hours.
Fuck.
This week, I'm going to have Jay Moore on the podcast. We're figuring out when to do it. I got to call Jay back. He's doing this thing with Kevin Smith, and we're trying to bring awareness to that. He's got a new podcast of his own.
Did Kevin Smith sit in this seat?
No, I only did it at his house. I love Kevin Smith. Yeah, man. I love him too. Would you sniff the seat, though?
I would. I'd lick it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's doing, so Jay Moore's doing something on Kevin Smith's network of podcasts, and he's also going to do some sort of a television thing with Kevin Smith. So he's got that going on. But Jay and I are going to do a podcast soon. This week we got Giorgio Tsoukalos from Ancient Aliens. He's going to be in the podcast. We got a lot of stuff happening. And we're also looking at the new studio space this week. We've got to figure out a new place to do this. I'm moving on up, folks. We're going to step up. We're gonna also produce a Joey Diaz DVD. That's another thing nice. That we've just decided to do. Nice. So that's all for now. September 21st in Denver at the Paramount Theater. I got coming up the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. Sometime soon. I'm not sure when that is. I don't have my thing in front of me, but it's soon. All right. And
Pabst Smear?
Yeah, Pabst Smear Theater. Mm. The Pabst Theater, Pabst Brewing Company. Oh, August 13th in Milwaukee. So if you want to talk to Mike and contact him, you can get him on Twitter at Schiavello Voice. That's Schiavello Voice on Twitter. And do you have schiavellovoice.com too?
No, just Schiavello Voice on Twitter.
Do you have a website?
Check me out on Facebook.
Do you have a website?
Nah, just use hd.net.
Bro, you need a website, bro.
Yeah,
you're stepping up.
I need
Tell HDNet, kick in, get a fucking schiavellovoice.com.
I need to get one.
Come on, man, get in there. All right, dude, thank you very much,
brother,
for being on
the podcast. Fucking pleasure. Always man.
Always good
fucking
to hang with you, my friend.
Always.
And so Michael and I are going to kick back, and we're going to have a barbecue now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And that's the end of this show, and thank you very much for tuning in, and thank you to the Fleshlight. And if you go to...
Oh, where's mine?
I'll get you one, brother. Sweet. I'll get you one. Don't get crazy. Your wife's here, bro. go to joerogan.net, click on the link for the Fleshlight, and enter in the code name Rogan, and you will get 15% off, and then you can shoot all your loads at a discount. You can go, oh, that feels good, and I save money. All right. See you guys soon. Bye. Love you, bitches. Bye-bye.